It's hamstring, is all I'm saying.
Well, I'm glad you're continuing to learn things. I mean, that's the most important thing in life. Yeah. It's just to be a lifelong learner, you know?
I'm sorry,
staving
Mom.
Staving off dementia.
Look, oh, this
don't
is what
worry,
happens.
This isn't that... making the show. Do you want to try something else
okay,
for the
good.
Intro?
Yeah, this is what I learned at the bar so, the other day.
Clip at 340. Note to self.
All right, what else we got?
Well, we can. I do want to talk about the
baby races.
Or lack there.
There's no baby races?
What's the point of a 1 p.m. game if there's no baby race? That's why you have the game at 1 p.m.
Look, who runs this franchise?
I want him out. I want him gone.
Let him retire right now, because otherwise, drawn and quartered.
It's like nobody's hands are on the wheel. I wonder what they're doing.
Or maybe one hand on the wheel and doing something else. I don't know.
Are we not aware of some sort of scandal in the baby racing industry? Maybe there's a big doping ring going on.
A juicing scandal?
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
grape, no OJ?
Yeah. There was no... You know. There was that formula shortage during COVID. And now we've bounced back, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like people are double dipping on the formula.
Maybe just didn't want to steal the thunder from Rick Fusen's retirement.
Maybe, because that would take a backseat to the baby.
Everything does, including basketball.
But what if you were given a car with a sunroof? Would that take a backseat or would it take a front seat?
It would definitely open up the door for hamstering. So, I don't know. That's a...
Cheers. Look it up, kids.
We're done.
Every time a door closes, a window opens.
A sunroof opens?
Mm-hmm. Open up a window.
Salt Peter John.
For God's sake, John, sit down.
Let's do a second sink.
What are we doing here? Sorry, Harper.
Yeah, so just prepare to
it'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bounce castle?
Hitler.
Just prepare to... just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is April 14th, 2024. This is episode 697. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials. This show, we're going to discuss the end of the regular season. Pacers going 2-1 with games against Toronto, Cleveland, and... what's left of Atlanta. Joining me this show are all three of our analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First, from the high school home of Jamison Brewer, Silver Spring, Maryland, it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Rejoice! Rejoice. It's playoff time.
Yeah, baby.
We're all very excited to hear that the playoffs are coming back.
I'm sorry, I'm a little slow on here. Look, just stop. We'll just do it now.
What?
Rejoice, Pacer Nation! It is at long last time for the NBA playoffs, and your Pacers road to the NBA Finals. I didn't know when it was time. I'm sorry. I wasn't ready.
I figured we could put it in whenever. That's Harper's problem.
Yep. Anyway. No, this, not anymore.
Yeah, now no, this is everyone's problem now. It's just this is how we roll now.
From Asheville, North Carolina, our in-house bartender mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles. It's John. Smoke Show, Colson.
Oh, Smoke Show. Nice.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah. It means you're attractive if you're a younger person, and just go on over next time.
Don't worry, you'll always be your best offer to me.
Shut off playoffs, playoff jingle. I spent the entire day stressed out, the entire 5 days stressed out about how this is going to go down. Lots to go through, but happy to be here to break it down with you guys. Shout out playoffs!
Shout out playoffs. And shout out to your jingle. I guess I'll second that. I'm from Tacoma, Washington. Out west, it's our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? Shouting out the home crowd and the home team. Always good to be with you guys. Playoffs, shout baby. Out.
Playoffs, baby.
Yeah.
No, it's been 4 years since we played the jingle. I mean, that was a crappy jingle I made like 11 years ago. We haven't had it for 4 years, man. This is exciting. I did so much bell work back in the day. Mm-hmm. And then just been sitting on that.
Mm-hmm. It was sad when you had to sell them. When you
I know. Moved. I kind of gave up on my bell career. Yeah. It's not good. We're back, baby.
Well, before we get into all there is to talk about, we want to remind listeners that they can support us, the longest-running Pacers podcast, by heading over to patreon.com/undebeatables. And you can support us with your money for as little as a dollar per month. So, as we have mentioned up top, and you've probably heard by now, Pacers going to the playoffs proper and solidifying the number 6 seed by just destroying the Atlanta Hawks. But there were 3 games total this week. First one, Pacers played the Toronto Raptors away Tuesday, April 9th, and came up big, winning 140-123. Very big games from Tyrese Halliburton with 30 points, and then 23 from Obi Toppin, 16 each from Turner and Siakam. Second game of the week, Pacers lose to a team they could have played at the playoffs. Friday, April 12th, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they come up short 129-120. And Pacers were in this one late, but just could not seal the deal. And it slipped away. There were some... Struess was annoying. Donovan Mitchell had a fantastic game. I don't think he played the previous game up against us, but he was back and he played very well. Jared Allen dropped 29 on our heads. And of course, Caris LeVert and Jordan Yang want to chip in as against their old teams. And from the Pacers side, 8 guys in double figures, nobody over 19. That was Halliburton, 19-12 that game. But it was a bummer, and we were hoping, Pacers could have gone up higher in the seeding if they'd won that game, but they did not, and took that loss into the final game of the season, of the regular season at home, Sunday, April 14th at the Fieldhouse, and Pacers just torched the Hawks. They won 157-115, dropping 49 in the first quarter and 37, 39, 32 to close the game, tying the franchise record for a single season, or for a single game, most points in a single game, in regulation too, which is just bonkers. So a couple things to say about this game first before I throw it to you guys. I got to go to this one with my son. We had a great time. He got to meet Boomer. Boomer was very gracious, even though my son wanted to see him but was also scared of him. But we got a nice autograph, and he was having a good time. He was cheering really well. We clapped when everybody else did and really enjoyed it. And you know, he gives the pretzels a very high rating. But no baby race, and that was why I took him there. It's a 1 p.m. tip, no baby race. But the Pacers win this one and get the sixth seed.
Joey, I think we need to talk about this a little bit. Go ahead. Like, what's up with no baby race?
Which one? We maybe mentioned before, but like, it's a 1 o'clock game. It's nice weather. It was beautiful today. The only thing I can think of was that, yeah, Rick Fusen, the CEO of Pacers Sports and Entertainment, was retiring after 40 years with the organization.
So what, they gave him the baby race spot?
I don't know. Maybe he always hated the baby race, and right. That was his last. You know, maybe next year is going to be all baby race.
I see. So every all games have baby races from now on.
Maybe. When can it? You can only
Night baby races, afternoon baby races.
When they're young enough,
all the baby races. Because I do like the idea of the 7 o'clock games having like babies that are just, you should be putting them to bed, but instead you're making them race. You know, like they're cranky, they're tired, they should have gone to bed, and they're racing. I feel like it's like more of like a battle bots or a, you know.
Could make it difficult to officiate, you know, because they're so cranky. But
I don't think America wants to see that.
Could get a little dirty out there.
Having seen it up close and personal, having a multitude of babies at the witching hour.
This could be the greatest sport that's ever been invented, is all I'm saying. And
that's true. It's true.
So, Jason, what do you think of this last week, and what does it mean for our playoff run that we're getting ready to embark on?
Well, I mean, obviously, in the end, successful. You know, the goal this season was to make the playoffs, and we have done that now, securing a sixth seed for the first time since the bubble in 2020. So this will be the first time that Pacers fans see playoff action in person since 2019. That's a solid 5-year stretch. Now, we also haven't won a playoff series since 2014, so it's been an even bigger drought, and maybe we'll be able to do that. We'll talk a little bit more on Thursday, I think, about our predictions for the series against the Bucks and whatnot. But I thought the Pacers did, a good job. You know, they got off to a very slow start in that Toronto game, but worked their way back and ended up, you know, handily winning that game. The Cavs game, I thought, was a frustrating game. The fact that we were even in that towards the end, I thought, was a testament to how hard these guys fight and the defensive effort that they put on. I mean, we had just some very uncharacteristic turnovers throughout the game by some of our top guys, like, you know, Miles Turner literally just passing it to the other team, you know, Halliburton throwing it out of bounds, and we couldn't buy a bucket from 3-point range. And we got murdered on the offensive glass. That is to be expected. But even with that, we were right there. So that was good. And then the way that they came out today in that first half was just phenomenal. And I want to give a special shout out to Miles Turner, who just came out, you know, looking to cook.
Looking like a team leader.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I wanted to give him a super shout out for his performance in that Miami game as well. He didn't score as well in that game as he did in this game, but he was a force on the glass and defensively. You know, he throws up in this game 31, 12, and 4 blocks and was just everywhere, just made life difficult for everybody on the Hawks roster. And, yeah, I think really set a tone. Yep. Yeah, like you said, Harper, team leader, sort of coming out.
But you know what he didn't have today? A smothered chicken.
Mm. No but smothered chicken.
Know you who know? Did.
Who did get that smothered chicken?
Tyrese Halliburton in the Toronto game gets the coveted smothered chicken from Quinn.
Was that the first of the
year? First of the year.
I mean,
wow.
A huge, huge drought. Halliburton said maybe it wasn't really a smothered chicken, but hey, a smothered chicken is a smothered chicken. You don't get to choose the smothered chicken.
Right?
Quinn chooses
that's,
the smothered
that's
chicken.
That's right. You don't choose it. Quinn chooses it.
Quinn was offended that Denari even questioned it. He's like, no.
So great. But no, it was the first of the year. He's not given a smothered chicken all season. This is exciting stuff. I thought this was an uneven week in the sense that if the Pacers take care of business against the Cavs, we potentially could have the 4 seed. That was, you know, we had the tiebreaker against basically every team except the Magic. If you win all the games, you could have home court advantage. If you beat the Cavs, or if you beat the you beat the Cavs, and then you have other people lose. This is a great opportunity, and we just didn't come out the gate well. You know, we basically just sucked in the first quarter, and we didn't play defense, and it was a frustrating game. I'm with you, Jason, that we made it interesting, and uncharacteristic mistakes down the stretch. I really felt like this is a situation where Halliburton didn't want to take over. Normally he wants the ball in his hand. He's going to take that three. He's going to make sure that he's running the offense. And a lot of it went through Nembhard, and even more than Siakam. And I was really curious about that. I don't know what was going on, whether he was just whether Halliburton was, you know, not confident in his shot at that point, or he'd turn it over and had the yips. But you know, Nembhard did some great stuff down the stretch, but he also did turn it over. It was a frustrating game, the way we started it and the way we ended it, and I was very down on this team, and then we come out and just obliterate the Hawks, and we end up with a really nice matchup in the playoffs because we love beating up on the Bucks.
I don't think Halliburton's got the yips, man.
I don't know. I was shocked by how much he didn't have the ball in his hand down the stretch in that Cleveland game. Like, he just kept giving it up. He took a couple shots for three early, and they didn't go in. And then he just was giving it to Nembhard. And Nembhard was having to take tough shots in traffic. I was just really surprised that in this really important game that Halliburton wasn't taking it on himself. I was surprised.
Yeah, these things aren't accidents. So I was surprised. Like, this is a road game to clinch the playoffs. This is very much a first approximation of what we look like in the playoffs. And it was very clear that Rick Carlisle had on his list second team burn. We did not shorten up our rotation for this game. We stuck with our bench even when it looked like maybe we should pull those guys and get our starters on the floor. I was really, really impressed with Carlisle sticking with the second unit like that. It's hard, I think, as a coach to stick with the game plan like that. But he did it. We didn't win the game, but that doesn't mean he didn't accomplish a lot of the things that he wanted to accomplish. And part of that is, you know, getting these younger guys burn on the road. We know Halliburton can play a win on the road. We know that. But getting these younger guys burn in playoff situations is going to be the difference between potentially winning series in the future.
So do you think Halliburton was saying, I'm going to defer down the stretch to help teach my team? Like, that's it.
Yeah, I don't think he has the yips, dude.
Yips is maybe the wrong term, but like, I just don't know why he wasn't taking over. I needed him to do it, and he didn't do it down that stretch in Cleveland.
I mean, I agree with you, but I don't think it's been uncharacteristic of him over the last month, basically. That's kind of, I mean, we have been playing through Siakam mostly in the fourth quarters, like, and in crunch time.
I'm with you, but we played through Miles Turner and Nembhard at the end of this Cleveland game, and it was wild. Sure. and we made a lot of mistakes. And also, we made some great plays. And I mean, it was. But like, how is Siakam and Halliburton not the guys that are taking me down the stretch? My mind was blown watching this game.
Yeah, I kind of credited Cleveland's defense more than that. I thought that they did an excellent job from the tip, basically, of disrupting what the Pacers wanted to do. I mean, they're one of the best defensive
teams in the league. That is true, without a doubt.
They have length all over the place, and Halliburton has struggled with length against him. I was trying to remember who they had guarding him, but...
Mitchell?
I guess they were just switching a lot. It was Mitchell, yeah, okay. So
Mitchell and Garland were doubling him, and you know.
Yeah, I think they were just getting the ball out of his hands.
Yeah, they were just showing a lot of ball pressure. I mean, that's not only a good team, but a team that's better than its record because of how much time their best player missed. This is a really, really good team.
Oh yeah, not only Mitchell being out, but
Garland is.
Yeah.
I forgot how maybe I just never noticed how athletic Mobley is, because normally we're guarding him with Turner, right? But you throw Siakam, mm-hmm. who's super athletic, on him, he looks more athletic than he usually does. I mean, yeah, that's just a good team. Okoro is a real player. He brings a lot of defense and is disruptive. Jared Allen, you can't ignore that guy. He'll burn you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Cleveland's a very good team. You're right. And
they executed quite well. You know, George Niang. The best part of that game was George Niang getting into it with TJ McConnell. And they got the double technicals for...
I was like, come on, refs. These guys are clearly buddies. Sorry.
And I mean, to your point, Harper, Cleveland did shorten their rotation.
Yeah.
I mean, they played eight guys. And... they play their rotation at home.
And it took all of that to beat us. And yes, and that's with us making some uncharacteristic mm-hmm. mistakes. So I think that's a darn good outing. I would have liked the dub, but I'm not disappointed with the out.
I did want the W. I was very upset, but I'm with you. They're a good team.
And clinch at home. And it's awesome to clinch at home, and our fans deserve that.
Yeah, fans were nuts.
Yeah.
They were... I mean, how could you not be after just eviscerating the defense like that?
I mean, we can make guys look just bad sometimes. Even in the Cleveland game, there are a few plays where we just made a good defense look bad.
Mm-hmm.
So we will not go down as the overall number one offense in the history of the NBA, but I think we're still like top five. I haven't looked at it. Since the season just ended before we started recording. But
my buddy Micah texted me and said that before the game started, this last game started today, we had the ninth most points scored in NBA history in a season. And at the end, we had the fourth
most.
There you
go. I'll take that. Also, 1 point off of having the franchise record of most points scored in a game, just lighting up the Hawks. We love to just light them up.
Yeah. Well, they don't play any
defense. I was going to say, they kind of
like
invited.
To play offense. So it's a recipe for disaster for them.
No Clint Capella? I mean, come on, man.
Well, we also hung 150 on them earlier in the season.
157, in fact.
Oh, really?
Earlier in the season. Yeah.
Nice.
In that 157-152 shootout. I mean, silver lining for the Hawks. I thought, like, we came out and just blew the doors off. 49 points in the first quarter, which is insane. And they, to their credit, like, just kept playing ball. And they eventually tied it back up, you know, in the second quarter. And then kudos to our guys for responding and being like, no. They promptly went on, like, a 12-0 run or something like that and just stretched it back out. And then who was the guy? Muhammad Gay?
Mm-hmm.
Gay. Gway?
Yeah.
This rookie. Is he a rookie? Or I don't know. Anyway, some guy I'd never heard of. He's a baller. Like, that dude is good. He looks super comfortable. He was making, like, veteran plays. Kind of got taken advantage of at the end. Halliburton had a nice and one on him. But
21-year-old rookie out of Wazoo. late second round pick by Charlotte. I don't know how he ended up in Atlanta, but definitely had a good outing against us.
Mm-hmm.
And no Isaiah Jackson for us in this one. Hopefully, this is a hammy. Hopefully it's nothing. He played a lot of games this year for a guy who's not used to playing an 82-game season, so hopefully they're just giving him some rest going into the playoffs, because we're going to need minutes from him for sure.
Speaking of 82-game seasons, Obi Toppin.
Obi Toppin.
Plays all 82 after going out of that Cleveland game with an ankle sprain, after he had dominated the game for like a 3-minute stretch or whatever. So good to see him back out there.
I know we go we don't do the NBA Unabated Awards till the Pacer Unabated Awards till the end of the playoffs, but and I know that TJ McConnell is probably the sixth man, but man, Obi Toppin has been a revelation. He's just been a revelation. I love this kid. He plays so hard. I did not expect this. We picked him up off the scrap heap. We gave a second round draft pick to the Knicks for this guy. Like, this is insane. Mm-hmm. This is great. He's been fantastic all season, and I'm looking forward to him having some great playoff, stuff going on, and that we're gonna, probably put him on the Pacers top 25 of all time.
Shout out to Buddy Hield too. Played 83 this year.
Ooh, league leading.
Nice,
buddy, buddy, buddy.
Do you guys know what the TJ, that stands for, the TJ McConnell? Do you know what the TJ stands for him?
TJ Maxx?
True jumper.
It's turnaround jumper. All right. So, well, Jason, what do we got for games coming up here soon?
Well, we are playoffs action. We don't have the full schedule yet. We know that the Pacers will play at Milwaukee Sunday. What will that be? April 21st. They don't know the time yet. Time has not been announced. But and then they don't have the rest of the schedule yet. I don't think so. That's all we know. Next Sunday. TBD time.
So we're taking on the Buckaroos. We played. What was our record of them this year?
4-1.
4-1. 4-1.
And where's Giannis? We can talk more about this later. But where's Giannis on the health chart?
So he gets a full week of rest because we won't. The playoffs don't start till next. What did you say? The 21st.
Yep.
Sunday.
They were saying that he clearly missed the last three games of the season, that they said he'd be ready for the playoffs, but we don't know. He could miss.
It's a calf strain. It's a soft tissue injury, so those are.
Could be he misses the first couple games. He misses no games. He's slower than usual if he plays. Like, we don't know anything, Joe. I never want to root for injuries, but I'd be okay if Giannis wasn't at 100%.
Giannis is literally named the Greek Freak. He will be there. He will be healthy, and he will be unnaturally athletic.
He will be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
But he played the games that we beat them 4-1 in. So,
yeah,
we have a strange matchup.
Also set a franchise record against us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
It should be a heck of this may be the best matchup of the first round based upon how entertaining the games were this season. This should be a good one.
This is what I wanted. I think this is what a lot of Pacers fans wanted, because we tend to have a good matchup with them. They also seem to be a little weakened or wounded. There's a chance to take advantage of that. This kind of turned out as well as it could have, outside of the Pacers getting home court advantage by losing to the Cavs. So, If you're gonna get the sixth seed, let's go against the Bucks. Let's do it.
That's right. Unless you think this was intentional, so we can
maybe. Play the Bucks. I mean, I don't know. There were so many things in the air, Joe. I think I spent, I don't know, 15 hours trying to figure out who the Pacers are gonna play. Over the last like 5 days, it's been a lot of work. I can't assume that the Pacers were, you know, banking on this. You just got to go and play, win. Because I'm doing the hard work. They're just playing basketball.
Yeah. You did. You put in the work. You did the math.
So. Yeah. They don't do math. They just, you know, shut up and play ball or whatever.
Sometimes. All right. So let me, I want to give just the end of season overall standings, and then just to end the show with that. In the East, the Celtics end up in the one spot, and they'll be playing the 8th seed, which will be decided by the play-in tournament. Number 2, Knickerbockers finish up in that 2nd seed. That's did really well. They'll be playing the 7th seed, which again will be from the play-in tournament. Number 3, Bucks, playing the number 6 Pacers, and the number 4 Cavaliers will be playing the 5th seeded Magic. The play-in games, the 76ers would play in the number 8 seeded Miami Heat, and the number 9 Bulls will be taking on the number 10 Hawks. And the 9-10 game, you got to win two. You got to win two to get in. In the West, the Thunder ended up number 1. They'll be playing the 8 seed. Number 2 Nuggets playing the 7th seed. The Wolves ended up in 3rd spot, and they'll be playing the number 6 Phoenix Suns. And the 4-5 matchup are the LA Clippers, and they'll be playing the Dallas Mavericks. The play-in tournament for the West is going to be the number 7 Pelicans versus the number 8 Lakers, and number 9 Kings versus number 10 Warriors. So the Warriors and the Lakers, both recent champions, are going to be in the play-in tournament. And
I mean, the West is so deep this year. Pelicans won 49 games and they're in the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's outrageous.
Yep. We've seen teams do some damage from the play-in tournament, so.
Yeah, the Miami Heat went all the way to the finals last year.
Yep. Alrighty, we'll be back with you on Thursday to give a deeper look into the playoff picture. There's lots to talk about in those matchups. Until then, you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website, TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can use that to send us a message. You can email us, shoutout@theundebeatables.com, and at the website /store is where the merch is.
For the architect, Donnie Walsh, and our once and always Hall of Fame coach, Bobby Sicklenard, who I think would be thrilled that we are just in the playoffs and not having to do some play-in tournament bullshit. Let's do this thing. Let's go, baby. Turn out the lights, the party is over, let's do this thing!
Yeah.
Ah.
I'm obviously very excited about the playoffs, but also Monday, the day this show goes up, is a tax day.
Boo.
And the WNBA draft.
Oh, well that's cool. Let's do that.
Which is
cool. What do you got on that, Joe?
I got, there's the Fever having a draft party at the field.
Are you going to go?
Yeah, I got tickets. I'm planning on being there.
Are you taking a little one?
No. The draft starts at like 7:30 or something.
So. Which you got?
Yeah, no way. No way.
Well, I assume that we're going to, draft Caitlin Clark.
you would think so.
Correctly.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. I'm very excited. I'm also very excited because my roommate was in a, you know, one of those like random birthday party conversations you have. You know, you're just like at a, you're in a group event and you're just making small talk, and somebody brought up Caitlin Clark, and she was able to tell them that Caitlin was going to the Indiana Fever. Because she's my roommate.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm very proud of her.
Oh, speaking of that.
You want credit because somebody else...
No, she listens when I talk. And then she was able to like feel smart against some random person who didn't know anything.
1 point for John.
And 1 point for Angela, too, my roommate. Everybody gets a point.
Okay, Angela gets a point, too. Okay, good, good. Everybody wins.
There's a lot of points at the house right now, is what I'm saying.
If you haven't seen the Caitlin Clark on Saturday Night Live,
what?
I recommend
it. Did that happen?
You should go do that. It was...
Was she the guest, or is it just like a one bit?
The only thing I saw was she did a guest host on, like, the... Weekend Update.
Okay.
Or like a guest. She was a guest on Weekend Update.
Oh, nice.
And I don't want to spoil anything, but it was hilarious. She made Michael Che uncomfortable. So
nice. Was there like a roof, open roof and a hamster situation?
And
alright. Thanks, guys.
Sorry.
That's good. Sorry. Good callback.
Damn it. All right, I'll give you a good one. It's the Latin translation of toxic is toxicus. So they say.
That was benign. Still waiting for the punchline.
No, mm-hmm. I was trying to cancel out whatever all the words that Colson said so far.
Palate cleanser.
Yeah. All right.
Didn't Let's work.
From Colson's toxicus. Yeah.
What about Toxicai? The Shaggy? What about the Shaggy defense? When you get caught committing a crime, and you just do what Shaggy did in the song and just say it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
You blame it on the dog, I think, is Shaggy's defense.
No.
Scooby!
Hey, Scoops!
That was really good.
All right.